I just want to give God all the glory and all the honor for His goodness and for His mercy, because I cannot stand here on my own and minister the gospel. I need the Holy Spirit. I'm a very simple man. I do not have a very good school education. But one thing I know is when we meet with Jesus, He ministers through us. Doesn't matter who you are. You can have a degree as long as from here to Durban, in South Africa. That's what I mean. It helps you nothing if you do not have the wisdom of God in your life and you do not hear the power, the voice of the Holy Spirit. So, Father God, I just come to you, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, I lay myself before you, Father God. I know without you I'm nothing. But I thank you, Father God, this morning that I do not do anything in my own strength, but everything in you. I give you all the glory and all the honor. And I thank you, Father God, that every word that I speak this morning will be words of life and light unto people, and that your word will set them free in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that no person here this morning is going to leave this place the same in Jesus' name. Because, Father, you are there. You said in your word, Father God, you will confirm your word with signs and wonders following in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I carry on, I just want to do something that's not a part of my sermon. It's just what I felt God said to me in my heart. There's people here that you are actually struggling a little bit financially, and you look at the circumstances around you and you think, where are we going to go end up when the world is going the way that it is going? Amen. I've got some good news for you. The Word of God says that I'm on this world, but I'm not of this world. Right. So in other words, it means that I am here as a visitor. The Bible says that I am an ambassador for Christ. Who knows what an ambassador is? Amen. If I speak a little bit funny, please, for my Chinese friends, just stop me and say, Nico, what did you say? All right? You've got my permission to do that. I speak a bit different because I'm from South Africa. So the Bible says that we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. That means simply that we do not fall under this world system. We're under a total different system. An ambassador is a person. If the Chinese ambassador comes to my country, the Chinese government is looking after him according to what they believe and what they want to pay him. Amen. South Africa, if I go to China or from Australia and I go to China, it does not matter what is going wrong in China. If there's a fight breaking out, my government's job is to get me out of there as quick as possible. Because I'm protected by my country. It's the same with us Christians. It does not matter where we are. If you live in the desert, if you live in the middle of Africa in the bush, my God shall supply in all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus, because you are an ambassador for Christ. I want you to get this thing straight this morning into your heart, that we are not a normal people. We are ambassadors for Christ Jesus. So no matter what is going on around us, our God will get us out of that situation every time. Because He will not leave the righteous forsaken. Amen. Amen. Good. That lately became such a revelation to me, that we are not from here. Amen. I'm going to read from the Word of God this morning from the book of Matthew. Chapter 9 from verse 35. Now, my heart has always been for people and for the lost out there. But there's also another thing that is on my heart always, is to see people being equipped to do the work of the ministry. That is where my heart is. I want to, not just me, because me, I'm kingdom minded. I want to see the kingdom being established, not Nico's kingdom and not your kingdom. Every one of us that is here this morning can hear my voice. God has called you. There's a calling on your life. Amen? Now I'm going to read from verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. But when He saw the multitude, He was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. If you're a farmer, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you get one sheep that is all by himself, man, that poor sheep, he goes crazy. He just runs everywhere, bleating his mouth off. He's totally lost. And unless you go and fetch that sheep and bring him back into the fold, he's going to be a very unhappy sheep. Amen. So Jesus was looking at the multitude and he could see the people were lost without a shepherd. Now I've seen, you could go into Brisbane and you can go on a Sunday, a Saturday night and see how people are lost. People are drunk in the streets. They are full of drugs. And that is the people that Jesus Christ has died for. He loves them. But if we are not equipped to go and do that, go to those people and tell them about Jesus, they will never know about the gospel. So listen what Jesus says in the very next chapter. Verse. He says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Jesus, and who was the Lord of the harvest? It was Jesus himself. He was standing right there and he says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. The harvest are plentiful, but the laborers are few. Jesus knew that in his own, he could not do that. Because he first had to die on the cross. And that authority has been given over to us to get people into the harvest field. Amen. He says, therefore, you pray the Lord of the harvest. And then you have from Matthew 10, from verse 1, he says, and when he had called his disciples, the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over every unclean spirit to cast out, to cast them out, and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. He gave us that authority. I have seen many people that did not even believe in Jesus. When I started praying for them, they got healed. You don't have to be a Christian to be healed. Pastor Steve and myself were discussing it. If we want to see the power of God being released in this country and across the world, listen, I'm from South Africa. For me to go and stand, and I can tell you, I can speak to any one of my African brothers that comes from Africa. The easiest thing to do is to preach the gospel in Africa. It's as easy as anything. I can go and stand in a box and I can start talking about Jesus, and before long I will have people all around me. But this country is totally different. Okay, I'll tell you something. This is a godless country at the moment. But that's our job, is to change what is going on here. Because here people don't even know what the word of what the name of Jesus means. The name of Jesus here is a curse word. They have got no clue. So I said to the one guy, I said to him, hey, listen, that name that you're using, that powerful, that's a powerful name, man. I said, why don't you use the name of Buddha or Hare Krishna? Because there's no power in that name anyway. Amen? Have you ever seen a guy hit his finger and say, oh, Hare Krishna? Ah. No way. It's always, oh, Jesus Christ. And then they don't know, they only use that. They also put another swear word with it. And I cringed. And I said to this guy, I said, that name that you are using like that, man, that same name can heal your body. And then incidentally, this young man had a crushed leg from a horse because he was doing rodeos. And his leg has been in a mess. And every time I see him, he's walking crippled like this. And I don't need the Holy Spirit to tell me that there's something wrong with him. I could physically see it. And man, and this is a red-headed guy, and he can swear like you have never heard anybody can swear. So the one morning, he was sitting on the side of the stable, and I called him. He was sitting there, sorry, he had his boot off, and that whole leg of his was full of blue marks. And you could see that there was something horribly wrong with his leg. And I said to him, you know that name that you use like that as a curse word? I said, that same name can heal your leg. The Bible says that it's the most powerful name. I said, can I pray for you? He looks at me all shocked. He says, yeah, but I'm not a Christian and I don't believe in God. I said, but I do. I said, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I said, can I pray for you? Eventually he gave his consent. There was another little jockey there by the name of Sean, and my son Sean, he's sitting right there at the back. He can verify everything that I say now. So I've said to the guy, put your boot on. So he puts his boot back on, and I put him on a food bucket against the wall. I let him sit up straight. I took his two legs and I made them straight, and I said to this little jockey, I said, look at his legs. What do you see is wrong? He says, man, the one leg is that much shorter than the other one. I said, okay, I'll tell you what, you straighten it for me. And I walked off. He was pulling the guy's leg, and every time he gets a leg straight, the guy sits skew in the bucket. Then the guy moves back, and I said, okay, can you straighten the leg? He says, no. I said to this young man that I'm going to pray for, I said, I want you to pray with me. He says, but I don't believe. I said, I don't care if you don't believe, just pray with me. And this is the prayer we prayed. He says, Father God, I don't know you. But Nico says he does. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you're going to touch me, because Nico said that you are real. And as he said that, that leg just shot out. It got totally healed. The jockey stood there and he says, my God, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. And he walked away. That is what's going to change Australia. Because nobody can deny the power of God when it's an operation through you. We're going to see the dead raise. We can see blind eyes open. We're going to see crippled people walk. And you know what it takes? It's a step of faith. You think that you cannot do it, but you can, because you're an ambassador for Christ. You are not of this world. You're from the kingdom of heaven. And if God has called you, he will equip you to do exactly what I'm telling you right now, because he said so in his word. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Let's turn to the book of Acts 2. I'm very excited about the word of God, because I tell you something, in my life I have seen God done many mighty miracles. Okay, where it is? It's Acts. Sorry, this thing is just holding my Bible a little bit. Okay. I want to read from the book of Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. So this guy was a cripple. And he knew that people that was going into the temple will have compassion on him and will giving him alms. So every time people walk in there, he's looking expectantly at these people that's walking there to receive a buck or two. Because that's how he made his living. He used his lameness to get him some bucks. And there's lots of people like that in India. Everywhere across the world, you get people like that. They total cripples, and that's what they use to get something from people. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Man, and immediately this guy will look up at them and says, look at us. Expecting to receive something from them. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God, then they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the gate Beautiful of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wonder and amazement. That is why it's called a miracle. Because it makes you wonder and amazement at what God has done. And this is what we have to do. Imagine this. We're walking in the street and a guy falls down dead in front of you from a heart attack. And there's people there and they say, oh, he's dead. And you say, please, can I just pray for this man? And they will look at you all funny, and you rebuke the devil and you rebuke the spirit of death over the man, and he stood up from there and he walks away. What is going to happen around you? You will have revival. You will have revival, and revival is coming to Toowoomba. I have felt it. Because the Christians here are in unity in the churches, and that's unheard of. that that kind of thing is happening. So this is a place where God is going to do something great. And I want to be a part of it. And I want you to be a part of it. Because there's people here that God has called with a specific calling, and this is to minister the word of God to the lost. And we can do it daily, wherever we go. Everybody that knows me knows that I'm a Christian. All my clients know that I'm a Christian. Because I speak to them continually about Jesus. Yes, I get people that laughs at me, but who cares? Who can afford to be without Jesus? Well, I can't. Because in 1979, when I've given my heart to the Lord Jesus, man, he changed me from being a racist to being a man that loves everybody, every color, every nation. Because I grew up in racism in Africa. And that was from the pit of hell. I was blinded, yet I went to church, sat on a Sunday in church, giving my 50 cents every time I walked through the door, because I did my part, but I was a racist. I mean, in my church, we had elders that was security police. They murdered people, and yet they were elders in the church. That is how deceived people can get. Thank you, Jesus, that he opened my eyes. And I saw what was going on. And today I can honestly stand before the Lord and say that I love everybody. No matter what they smell like, or what they look like, or what they eat, I'll eat with them anyway. That's me. I changed. And I don't want to go back to my old lifestyle. I've been a soldier for 14 years. I know what death is about. And I know what joy is about. And the joy that God has given me is a joy unspeakable, man. I said, I tell you sometimes, I can also, the devil can also put some, sorry, the brakes on you, but praise God that every time those things are happening, I get through the thing anyway. You can't beat us. And then a guy said to me, yeah, but the Muslims are taking over. I said, who tells you that? I said, go read the back of the book. We won. Everything is already written there. Everything is written there. We don't have to worry about nothing. And yet the devil comes along and try and stop us in every direction. We go and say, oh, the devil is attacking. Forget him. We have got the authority, and I'm going to read it. We've got the authority to cast him out. I've been invited to go to minister to the Aboriginal people, and I'm looking forward to it, because I said to Steve while we were there, I said, Steve, what these people need is to know their authority as a believer. Because they've been walking in the, not depression, oppression and fear for too long. The devil doesn't love people. He hates them. God looks after us with love. The devil controls you with fear. God loves us. And when we talk about the fear of God, I'm not talking about a fear that God is going to punish me for making a mistake. We thought that at the beginning, eh, Steve? Yeah. Because that's what I was taught in my church. They go, God will punish you. And I almost believe them. Praise you, Jesus. Now, in this scripture here, these guys were brought before the priests and everybody for doing this notable miracle. And the clever people of those days, the Sanhedrin or what you ever want to call the priests and stuff, tried to stop them from speaking about Jesus. And they said to them, hey, listen, man, you can't stop us. We can't stop because these things, that's what's happened. Now listen to what the Word of God tells us here. In verse 13, he says here, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. When we are in prayer, I want to just say this. If there is a prayer meeting at this church, attend it. Because that is where you come face to face what God wants you to do. That is where you get the heartbeat of the Lord. It's in prayer. And especially in corporate prayer, God will give the church an instruction on what to do. A friend of mine the other day, I said, if people could just realize how important prayer is, and prayer should take up literally 99% of our Christian walk. Not just reading the Bible, but prayer. Because the thing is this, when we read the Bible and we see scriptures there, then we take that scripture and we pray about it. That's prayer. If you want to get your prayers answered, let me give you a tip. Find in the Word of God the need that you've got. Write that need down, and then you quote that scripture before the Lord and say, Lord, but this is what you said. If we want to preach the gospel to the lost, we've got to find all these scriptures where God has sent people out, where God equips us. And we've got to start praying about it and say, Lord, this is my desire to be filled with your power, with your anointing, with your ability to speak to people about Jesus, to see signs and wonders taking place. Because in our own strength, we cannot do it, but we can do all through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Amen? Praise you, Jesus. Now the Lord looked at their threats and grant to your servants that all with all boldness they may speak your word. This is after they were persecuted. This is in chapter 4, verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness that they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Don't be shocked that when you get into unity that God will shake this building. Amen? And let me tell you, I have experienced one morning while I was in the South African Army, I was doing, I was a staff sergeant in the Army, so I was walking through the tents because it was my duty that morning to do inspection. And we've got like this, it's a long bungalow, but on one side there's a door where they keep, and in there there's a little place where they keep blankets and towels and everything. And so the soldiers can go there and take their dirty laundry and then swap them around. And they, what we normally do is we used all the sick laymen lazies in that, you know, in there to hand all these things out. So this one morning I walked in there and there was a guy by the name of Ole sitting there at the table. But I did not know him because I've been in that base only 3 months. And I saw him standing, sitting with his leg up on the chair like that. And I said to him, Ole, what is wrong with you? He says, Staff. He says, I've been in an accident and my leg has been stiff like this for a year. I said, Ole, do you believe in God? He says, yeah, I believe in God. I said, do you believe that God can heal your leg? He says, and this is what came out of his mouth. He says, if God created me, then he can heal me. I said, okay. I said, can I pray for you? And there was another two troops standing there. And I lifted his leg up and I started praying for him. And this is all that happened. I said, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. That's all I said. The building started to shake. The windows started to rattle. I had no clue what was going on. I had such a fright. I dropped his legs and I ran out the building. But he's beaten me to the door. The guy with his crippled leg, he's beaten me. He was the first out the door because I first of all thought that it was an earthquake. And he got totally healed. The other two guys, the fellas that was in there, was also out the door. So I'm standing outside and I'm looking at the building and here's the other guys outside still cleaning. I said, did you guys hear that? They said, what stuff? I said, didn't you feel the rattle and shake? No. I said, Lord, I said, and then I realized that the guy was healed. I mean, the building really rattled so much that I got a fright. And then I read in the Word of God where they were in unity. Where they were in unity, the building started to shake. So when we as a church are getting into unity for Toowoomba and unity for Australia, because I'm an adopted Australian now. This is my country. And I want to see this country change in a mighty way. They call this the country of the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit. But it's a long way from it at the moment because we have got a job to do to get this country changed. We've got to stop what people are going to think and now if they spit on us, they throw us with bricks or anything. I don't care. Because a little bit of spit is only going to clean a piece of dust off my face anyway. I had a friend in South Africa. His name was Uncle Don Leonard. He was an actor. And this is, guy was in his, how old was he when he died? 80? And he had a coffin on his car. And he used to drive everywhere with his coffin. So the cops asked him, says, please, Uncle Don, take that thing off the roof because you are causing accidents. And on the side, he had a Peugeot 504. You know the old Peugeot 504s? On the side, there was written, turn or burn. Hell has got no fire escape. And the other side was written, you can live without Jesus, but you cannot die without him. And then he will take his Bible in the middle of the highway and drive slowly and just wave his Bible, keeping up the traffic. But he did not care one bit what anybody thought of him. So he was preaching the one day in the street, and somebody picked up a brick and threw it at him. And that brick, as he looked up, and he's an old man, that brick came towards him. He says, in Jesus' name, the brick just exploded. Boom! And it fell into pieces right at his feet. That is the God that we serve. One of my friends, they lifted up a pastor friend of mine. They waited for him at his gate. They want to hijack him. So they had the gun at his face like this. And he says to the guy, he says, you want this? The keys. You don't do that to a hijacker. He threw it away. He says, you fetch it. The guy says, I'm going to kill you. He says, you can't kill me. He says, I'm a child of the king. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. And the shot went off, man. And the bullet went right past Ross' face, like that. He said, Nico, I felt the bullet go past my head and into his car. And this fellow looked at this guy and he thought, I'm out of here. And he ran. He ran. Who saved him? The Bible says that we will do great exploits when we trust the Lord. That is why we've got to be so sensitive to hear God's voice and what He wants us to do. There are people around us every day that are in need. Every day. And I go, and I do a lot of deep sea fishing. I love it. I love it. And all the guys that I fish with, it's the Aussies, and there's a few South Africans. And every time I see these guys on the water, I say, hey, you boys, I love you, man. I said, listen, I'm not gay. Okay, I love you in the love of the Lord. Now these guys ask my wife, they come to me and they say, oh, Nico, we love you. So they start talking like me. You see, things on a person rubs off on people. The longer they know you and they see that you are genuine, that you are real, you're going to get them. Amen. They will change. Yeah, they will change. That is why we as Christians have got to live so upright before the Lord and not be two-faced. On Monday morning, you're different from what you were on Sunday. We've got to, you know, I went fishing the one Sunday and this one guy says to me, I thought you were a Christian. Why did you go fishing? I said, I went fishing with my dad. I said, that's the only time I can spend time with him. He says, yeah, but aren't you supposed to use the Sunday as a Sabbath? I said, let me tell you something. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to me is exactly the same day. There is no difference. If you want to be a seven-day Adventist and you love the Lord, it's your prerogative if you want to worship on a Sunday, on a Saturday. If you don't want to have your Sunday and a Monday, that's also good to me. It's not going to keep you out of hell, out of heaven. If you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your understanding, you can have your Sunday whenever you like. Amen. I just want to read Mark 16 quickly. Matthew, Mark. This is my favorite scripture. I can actually quote this scripture out of my mind, right out. But I want to read it. And I want this church to start reading Mark 16 and make it a part of this church. All right? I want you to see this. Chapter 16, verse 14. And later he appeared to the 11 themselves as they sat at the table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who have seen him after he had risen. He told them before that he was going to rise, you will come back. But they didn't believe it. So here Jesus is rebuking them for not believing that. But in the very next breath, he does something astounding. He says to them, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who has believed and has been baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. Whose name? Whose name? Your name? No, in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus' name is the most powerful name that you can get. That every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You may not do it willfully, but I tell you something, every creature on the face of this earth that's got two legs and nose and can speak a language, you will bow your knee willfully, or you're going to be forced to. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. And he says, you will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover. And if you are sick here this morning, you will recover, because we are going to pray. God has already showed me a few stuff that is wrong here. And they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. If there's one thing God will do, is he will confirm his word. He will confirm his word. If he says so in his word, he will do it. He will do it. Amen. This morning while I was praying, the Lord said to me that there's somebody, you've got a problem with your neck. As a matter of fact, you're getting not migraines, but you get a pain here, and sometimes it runs into your head. Who's that person? Come to the front. If it's you, come. If it's more than one person, that's why God chose it. Then another one. The Lord said to me, there's people with blood pressure problems. If you've got a problem with your blood pressure, just come. I heard God speak to me. Blood pressure. Could be low blood pressure or high blood pressure. And if there's something wrong with your blood. And then, if there's anybody here this morning with back problems, you're struggling with your back. You know, the thing is with backs is that it becomes such a part of our lifestyle that you just accept it as normal. Well, back pain is not normal. You don't have to walk in back pain. Amen? So if you've got any back pain, knee problems, I want you to come to the front. Amen. Come, Sean. Praise God. Can the musicians come up? Praise you, Jesus. Did you guys, by the way, enjoy Brother McCroskey? Yeah, amen. I love him. Amen. Pastor Steve, come. Come a little bit forward. Where's the ushers? I'm going to just ask you. I want you all to pray a prayer with me, right? And then I'm going to pray for you. Okay, Pastor Steve and myself will pray for you. Pray this prayer with me. Father God, I love you. I thank you, Lord, that you are our Savior. But today, Lord Jesus, we also accept you as our personal healer and physician. We thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the only one that can heal us. Nico can't. Steve can't, but you can, Jesus. And we love you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. Your word says that by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Lord, your word says that we shall lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We thank you, Lord, that we are healed. We are healed. Because your word says so. We thank you for the Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to pray.
Brother Steve, just pray.
We're going to sing together, Lord, I give you my heart. And as we sing, why don't we all stand? Just sing to the Lord this morning. This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with worship you. All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore. Says that healing belongs to me. Oh, I declare I'm healed. I declare I'm free.
My brother has got a back problem, right? And I want you guys to see what God's going to do. I hope it's a side. Oh, just sit down for me in the chair. Praise you, Jesus. Say this with me. Father God, I thank you this morning for a total healing in my body. I thank you, Lord, when Nico picks up my legs, you're going to heal me. You're going to touch me. I'm going to be free. in Jesus' name. My back totally healed. Amen. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're coming to the most important part of this whole service. I want everybody to close their eyes right now. Amen. If you're here this morning, there's two categories I'm going to talk about. If you've been a Christian before, but you've backslidden and walked away from the Lord, and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you do not know Jesus and you are not certain that you're going to heaven when you die, That's the way I can say it. I don't want to scare you, but if you're not certain that you are going to be with Jesus when you die, I'm speaking to you. And if you're here this morning and you are in one of those two categories and you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you to put your hand up. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Hey? I just want her to just testify about something, all right? How old are you?
I'm 90. 90
years
old. Oh, that's great. He's healed my shoulder, that's for sure. He's done everything for me, by the way.
Amen.
I live for you.
Isn't God good?
Amen.
Ah, Jesus! Woo! Amen. I love you. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Let's all just give Jesus a hand. Glory! Jesus! I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. That's good. That's good. You know, I believe that something's got on you today. I believe that that same boldness that Nico walks in is going to be on you. Amen? You're going to experience something. As a matter of fact.
If you want to be used by God, I want you to come stand here.
Come on then. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 I knew he wasn't finished.
That's okay.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Jesus is good. Very good. Amen. Now, God said to me, all of you must hold hands. Everyone. Just hold one another's hands. I want you to hold hands. Hold hands, yeah. That's it. Yeah, amen. Now you say to me, Nico, why are we holding hands? Hold this guy's hand, man. Because it's a transferring of the anointing of God. I'm going to pray a corporate prayer. And then I'm going to lay hands on you. And then everybody's going to touch because of you. Amen. Say this with me. Father God, we love you. Lord, we want to be used by you. In boldness. With fire. Lord, we thank you from today on. That every word that's coming out of our mouths is going to be words of life and of fire. And Lord, you've given us authority over Satan and over all his demons. And Lord, we're going to preach your gospel no matter what people think or how I feel, because we love you. And your word says, go into the world and preach the gospel. Lord, I'm going. I'm going to minister. I'm going to see life changed. And I thank you for it, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now say, amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord.
Father, we just thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Father. We have received it, Lord, and we walk in it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father, for an ever-increasing portion of anointing, of boldness, and the fire of God, and the ability to release the power of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here we go. Come on. Amen. Glory to God. Be blessed. Hallelujah. Have a great week. Don't forget this coffee, tea, fellowship with one another. Amen.